the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The situation was dire, and it was deteriorating by the hour. Panic was beginning to set in. Fear was the watchword of the day. Water was running out. Food was in short supplies. The people were beginning to get worried. They were wondering, would they have enough to eat? Would they have enough to drink? Would they be able to take care of their families? Would they indeed die because of this critical situation? I am not talking about your trip to Costco last week. I am talking about a crisis that happened thousands of years ago. A crisis that happened in the wilderness with the children of Israel and Moses. They were truly in short supply of water and of food. And they remembered what they had once upon a time when they were in captivity in Egypt. They had all that they could eat and all that they could drink. And now they did not have those physical necessities, that food and those foodstuffs and the water, but they did have their freedom. But they did not count that freedom from captivity of being slaves as worthwhile. They were immediately concerned about their physical needs. And so what do? They begin to fall into fear. They begin to panic. They begin to mumble and grumble. Oh my goodness, what are we going to do? We're going to die. And so they go to Moses, and they're very angry in this state of fear, in this state of panic. And so Moses goes to the Lord, and he says, "What am I to do with these people?" Which is exactly what I said when I went to Sprouts on Thursday. "What am I going to do with all these people?" And God said to Moses, "Remember that rod that I gave you, you know, the one that you parted the Nile with? The one that allowed that path forward from that crisis that you left back in Egypt into the land of freedom, into the land where you could exercise everything you needed to do in terms of worshiping me and being obedient to me. That rod that you struck the Nile with, parted the waters, passed through in that baptismal moment in the Old Testament, and came in on the other side safe and sound and free from that fear and free from that panic. That very rod, go in your closet, find that rod, and pass before the people. And there I will be with you on that rock at Horeb." And so Moses goes to his closet, finds that rod, passes by the people with his head high, probably going, "What is this going to happen now?" Get to the rock, the Lord instructs him to strike the rock, and what happens? The water pours forth, and they are saved from the moment. For the moment, the panic passes, the fear is gone, they drink their fill, but this would not be the first time, nor the last, that they would be concerned about those physical necessities rather than the spiritual things that they should have been focused on. They would find themselves once again without food, once again without the necessities required, and they would call upon the Lord, and he would provide again for them. And this would happen over and over and over again. But in each of those circumstances, each of those crises, it did pass. God provided. God gave them not only what they needed for their physical necessities, but also what they needed for their spiritual requirements. He gave them a sense of hope. He gave them a sense of peace. He gave them those things that conquer fear and overcome uncertainty, anxiety, and panic. Exactly what we need in this moment, this day, in this place, in our world. We need to rely and trust that God will provide. God will provide. The collect couldn't have been more perfect this morning. If I had to pick one, it couldn't be more perfect. Almighty God, you know that we have no power in ourselves to help ourselves. That is so true. That is so true. And what that is talking about is not overcoming COVID-19 or the panic of the moment, because there's really nothing we can do about that. We can't wave the hand and make that all gone. But we can realize in the depths of our being that we reside with God, and He will allow us to pass through this with the peace that passes all understanding. In a spiritual way, there's nothing we can do in and of ourselves to rely on ourselves to reach and to attain to salvation. There's nothing that we can do. All the prayers that we offer, all the worship that we come to, all the Eucharist we receive are aids in sharing in the life of the Lord. But we cannot attain to that moment of salvation. There's nothing we can do to make that happen. And why? Because it's already been done for us. It's already been accomplished. That victory has already occurred in the death, passion, and resurrection of our Lord. We live and move in Him, in that life that He provides for us. Keep us both outwardly in our bodies and inwardly in our souls, that we may be defended from all adversities which may happen to the body, and from all evil thoughts which may assault and hurt the soul. Wash your hands. Don't touch your face. Stay out of crowded places. Practice social distancing. Those things will help us get through this. Flatten that curve. Allow us to go on with our lives. We're not going to cure it. We're not going to overcome it. We'll have doctors and nurses and epidemiologists who will do that. But we need to be compliant to protect ourselves, to protect our families, to protect our children, to protect those that we work with. That we can do. We can protect the body in that way. We can protect the body in other ways too, by not abusing it, by smoking or drinking too much alcohol or doing crazy things. But that's not really the important part. What the important part is being concerned about not the temporal body, which we should, because the body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, but not the temporal body, but the immortal soul. The immortal soul that will reside with God for all time and all eternity. That should be our focus. A spiritual focus, not a physical focus. Knowing that we live and move and have our being in Almighty God. And so, this day, what are we called to do? What are we called to do? We are called to hope and trust in God. We are called to pray. The president asked today be a day of prayer, and it should be a day of prayer. We should be praying mightily. We need to put on that armor of salvation, that shield, pick up that sword, put on that helmet, and we need to be prayer warriors going forward. First and foremost, we need to be praying that in God's providence, a solution to this crisis epidemic will emerge, and will emerge sooner rather than later. That those on the front lines, those trying to develop a vaccine, would be given the wisdom and the knowledge and the revelation to allow that to be brought to the fore. We should be praying for those on the front lines, truly on the front lines, the nurses, the doctors, the aides, those who are caring for the sick, those who are, you know, assessing those who are coming in to be tested, so that, you know, we flatten that curve, we get past this, and we move on. We should be praying for the repose of the souls of those who have died, for it's tragic that death occurred because of this thing. And we should be praying for those that are sick, that they may speedily recover. But above all, we should be praying for the peace again that passes all understanding, because this too will pass. The plagues of the 13th and 14th century passed. The Spanish flu of 1918 passed. The SARS thing passed. The MERS thing passed. You know, all of this passed. Will there be difficulty? Will there be more upheaval? Will there be more panic? Will there be more fear? Yes, there will be out there. But that doesn't mean it needs to be in your heart. Does it need to be in your soul? Does it need to be in your life? Because we have something greater that overcomes all of that. And that is the love of God that passes all understanding. You know, again, perfect reading this morning, St. Paul in his letter talking about suffering. He says, since we are justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Again, that peace which passes all understanding, that peace which passes over crisis, that peace which overcomes fear, that peace which overcomes panic. Through him, we have obtained to this access through grace in which we stand. Again, not anything that we can generate, not anything that we can do. It's that grace that God has poured into our hearts, minds, and souls because he created us and because he loves us. And we rejoice in our hope of sharing the glory of God. More than that, we rejoice in our suffering. And this is a painful time. There is suffering involved, whether it's emotional angst about the economy, whether it's angst about sickness, whether it's angst or anxiety about the whole situation. That pain does cause suffering. But God never promised us a rose garden. And God, in and of himself, suffered and died so that we might have life eternal. More than that, we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope, because hope overcomes fear. Hope and love overcome adversity, and hope does not disappoint us, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, which has been given to us. May we hold fast to those words this day. May we go forward from here as prayer warriors, calling upon the mercy of Almighty God to intercede and to bring peace to the world, peace to our communities, peace to our hearts, our minds, and our souls. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.